on Amazon and streaming services.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up on the first part of today's program, we're going to talk about a fundraiser for a local former restaurant owner who's gotten into a bit of health trouble. We're going to talk about that fundraiser in a moment. Later on, we'll talk about the dispute between President Trump and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. That'll be in later on in the program. But first, several listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, I was asking people, after I interviewed Congressman Alan Grayson, whether or not they thought proceeding with impeachment against President Trump was a good idea. Here's what several listeners had to say.
This is Rick from Parrish. Impeachment would fail in the Senate, as we all know, and be spun as another exoneration by Fox. And yes, it would fire up his base, but so what? His base is voting for him anyway, regardless. I don't see anything Trump doing that's going to change a supporter's vote. But flagrantly disobeying the law, not responding to subpoenas, does need to be addressed. If an impeachment can force testimonies, then I'm all for it. It's crucial we hear from McCann, Mueller, Hicks, and see an unredacted copy of the Mueller report and the taxes and the documents from Deutsche Bank. Not responding to subpoenas lands the American civilian in jail.
This is Mark from Bradenton regarding Donald Trump. You know, his leaving the meeting yesterday basically was like a little kid saying, if I'm not going to get my way, I'm not going to play with you anymore, and I'm going to take my toys, and I'm going to go home. So he's refusing to do his job. If he's not going to do his job, then we need to get somebody else that will.
I was just listening to the show today about Donald Trump impeachment. I think it's a waste of time to be talking about this. Is he guilty of sin? Absolutely. Are people in his administration that are in jail or on their way to jail guilty? Absolutely. But you're not going to touch this guy. This is not the issue, the core of the issue. One thing that stayed in my mind, the Alyssa Milano doctrine, that she's going around telling everybody it's not about policy, it's not about legislation. It's about getting Donald Trump out of office at any cost. And that's a very dangerous way to think. We need to keep focus on the problem in Washington. The corporate Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Dianne Feinstein, Charles Schumer, these corporate Democrats are just as part of the problem. I heard one caller talk about, well, we'll get control of the Congress and the Senate. They had that in 2008. They passed a Republican health care plan called Romney Care, or the individual mandate care, or the Heritage Foundation care. They did nothing for working people. There's millions of children going to bed hungry in this country every night. People can't go to a doctor or a dentist without a credit card. College debt of kids trying to get an education. These are the issues facing this country. We need to keep our mind focused on getting Bernie Sanders, first of all, to win that election.
Hi, this is Elizabeth. I believe that impeachment may backfire. I believe that the Republicans are refusing to release information in order to drive impeachment, because they know that if the Democrats bring about impeachment, the media will talk about nothing but impeachment. The Republicans will be able to continue to do what they have been doing as far as destroying national parks and every single department that we have. The information will not get out there to the populace. There will be a backlash of hatred against Democrats for what will seem like a waste of time to the people who believe in turnip. But the thing is that Democrats have been pushed into the position where they have to do this, the right thing, whether they win or not. That is the thing these days. We have to do the right thing, no matter what the result will be.
Hey, this is Ken about the issue of holding off on impeachment because it would fire up his base. I don't know why anyone would even think about that being an issue. They're all going to vote for him anyway. You can't fire them up any more than they already are.
This is Mary from Sarasota. I certainly think we need to take the steps to begin impeachment proceedings on President Trump. His behavior can't be tolerated. It sets a terrible precedent for this country. And I know if anyone has any doubts, they should just sit down and read the Mueller report. It's not hard to read, and it will dispel any doubts anyone has about whether we should move forward. It can't happen soon enough, as far as I'm concerned. And thank you for all that you do.
Some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program where we were talking about whether or not it was a good idea to try to impeach President Trump. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for tuning in to Radioactivity. On the first part of today's program, we're going to talk about what happens late in life when you're suffering a health crisis and the expected help from the government doesn't come. Our guest is Anthony Devanza, who formerly owned two very successful restaurants here in the Tampa Bay area, Cafe Creole and Salinas. For a time, he moved to Mexico. He's been gone for a few years. Now he's back here in the U.S. And there's going to be a fundraiser for him in a few weeks because he's experiencing health problems. And I want to talk about what it's like to be in your 60s and having health problems here in the U.S. And Anthony, welcome to WMNF. Good to see you after all these years.
Yeah, I remember in the early days when I was getting ready to open Salinas, the original location, I used to come volunteer, and that's how I got to know you guys.
Yeah, you were down in Hyde Park. Salinas was in Hyde Park, right? Was
yeah,
the original?
Yeah, opened in 79.
Yeah. And then Cafe Creole was in Ybor City. So you're a restaurateur by trade. You've had...
by being a crazy person.
You've had many successful restaurants, but you're experiencing some health problems, and the federal government really isn't helping you out, even though...
Well, I'm 73 years old.
Oh, okay. You're a little older than I thought.
Yeah. Well, I'll be 73 on June 2nd, but I got hurt originally high school football at Jesuit senior year, and the doctors, you know, basically told me, you're screwed. You know, we detect with these x-rays, no MRIs then, that you have a spondylolisthesis deformity you were born with. Don't ever take jobs bending or lifting. It's not going to get any better. You know, no more contact sports. We don't know what to tell you. And it's gotten worse over the years, of course. And I also flipped a four-wheeler at 50 and crushed my 12th thoracic vertebrae. It's a number of things, you know.
I imagine there was a lot of lifting in the restaurant business.
Oh, lifting, bending on your feet. Oh, it was just...
Carrying cases of soda.
We would do the big events. I would be there till 2 or 3 in the morning, and then back early in the morning cleaning up all the property.
All this time you're paying into Social Security, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And then when I went to Mexico,
when
about
did you go
8 years ago.
8 years ago.
To San Miguel, I didn't consider myself disabled. I had a job offer there. And so I applied for Social Security as I was going to Mexico, but I didn't ask for disability. They don't volunteer that, you know, and, you know, it's not just all their fault. But when I got back to Tampa, I couldn't use Medicare or Medicaid in Mexico. Nobody accepts it. You got to fly back to the States if you want to get some. So when I got back here about a year ago, I started applying, and they said, well, you know, first of all, you need to get penalized because you didn't accept it. I said, well, I couldn't use it there. That doesn't matter. And I want to see about disability. I can't stand or walk or work, you know, much. I can't stand very long or walk. And they said, well, you didn't ask for disability then, so you can't ever get it.
Ever.
Ever. And I went through a number of different people and attorneys and specialists, you know.
Were you feeling pain when you moved to Mexico 8 years ago?
Oh, yeah. For years. It's been, you know, since high school. It's gotten worse and worse. And, I just go to work. You got to work. You know, at Salinas, it was very difficult, especially all those special events where you're working almost around the clock and you're back there Sunday morning to clean up from the concert. And, you know, it was tough. But, you know... It's called life.
So you're getting Social Security right now, but on top of that, you can't get any sort of disability.
Yeah, it's crazy.
From
you know, as you get
government.
Older, they cut you off.
Uh-huh. So you're kind of stuck at that Social Security, whatever that check is every month.
Yeah, yeah. $1,300, and you can't live in Florida anywhere in the States on $1,300.
That's really a small amount. Are you able to get around? Are you able to walk?
Can't walk very far. And the doctor tells me not to. I'm still getting some booster injections for the stem cell. I'm actually going tomorrow for another seminar, a group called Regenix, where the doctor, I've been watching him video, he says he's the first American MD to start stem cell injections. They have their own labs, their own research. They do follow-ups. I'm going to a seminar, see what they can do. They say they have financing. So I don't know. We'll see.
So it sounds like you're hoping for anything. You're kind of grasping at anything that might help your pain.
Well, I wish I hadn't done. I had surgery in Mexico. So I got 6 titanium screws about 4 inches long and rods in my back. I wish I had never done it. I did it because I couldn't walk a block. I was working in a cold, wet, damp meat plant there, teaching a Mexican company how to make, 7 kinds of natural international sausages. They never paid me much of anything. I had a contract for 50% of all my sales. I ended up with sausages in Cancun to the biggest supermarket chain in Mexico, and the biggest monthly paycheck was like $350.
Mm. But the business was keeping busy 40
or
50
hours
a week.
I should not have been walking.
Yeah.
I should not have been moving, walking up and down cobblestone streets, making all my own deliveries, and that's finally blew my back out.
So then you returned to the U.S. from San Miguel de Allende?
No. After 7 years there, frustration and aggravation, things started going up and up, everything in San Miguel. And I lost my apartment. They sold it. And I had met a guy whose sister lived in Honduras. And been talking to her for months from San Miguel. And all of a sudden, everything fell apart. I had to get out. And I sold everything I could sell or give away, and I could carry 3 bags to Honduras. When they were right in the middle of all these riots, when they had changed hands, Zavala had won the election, but I can't think of the guy's name who claimed he was the winner. So they were blocking roads, burning buses all over I was right in the middle of all that,
mm-hmm.
And then I went to see this gal whose brother I met at San Miguel, and she suggested, well, we got a new cruise port here, and we got some kiosks nearby. Well, it was all baloney. It was there, but so depressed. The economy there, incredible. And I spent about 2 weeks there in a mosquito-infested trailer and finally caught a boat and went to Roatan Island and started working and cooking in a number of restaurants on the coast there.
This is off the coast of Honduras.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
A world renowned for diving. But in these third world countries, it's tough.
So why did you decide to come back to the U.S.?
Because I was living in the Caribbean in June with no air conditioning and the heat was so bad. I used to take 4 or 5 cold showers a day and my back started going bad. And I let my family know, what was happening with me, and they helped me come back to Tampa and stayed with them for a while. Now I'm staying with a friend out in Land O'Lakes, guy I went to USF with my last year of college, and I'm not paying any rent for the time being out there and have a little cottage,
Well, we're talking with Anthony Devanza, formerly one of the top restaurateurs here in the Tampa Bay area, moved to Mexico, and as you heard, moved later to Honduras and the Caribbean coast, is suffering health problems and trying to raise some money. So you come back to the U.S., you're still getting your Social Security check, and you're still trying to work, but the government says you can't get any disability check at all. So you're just limited to that one Social Security check.
Well, something's popped up recently, and I talked to the guy this morning. I helped him out. He opened up on 15th Street. I can't remember. It's like a Cuban sandwich, Caldo Gallego, all the really great Cuban food. And he has these crab cakes that are crab balls. He puts about 1/4 pound of crab meat in them, him and his wife. And I said, holy crap. So I went to Capitano and Vince Pardo and all these Ybor people and said, go over there, try this out. So I can't give away too much because he's got a bid on a business. He wants me to help him. I walked in there and ate a sandwich and one of his crab cakes almost by accident. My brother took me there last week and he pulled me aside. He says, Anthony, where have you been? And I told him Mexico and all this other stuff. He says, look, I need you. I got a project.
So you want to go back to work despite all this pain?
Well, I can't stay here unless I'm working.
Yeah, and because you don't have enough income. You've tried lawyers and asked lawyers to appeal to the federal government, and no way.
The lawyers, when I call them, you know, they're referred by, you know, legal agencies, and none of them want to handle it because there's no money in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I finally got a hold of a woman who went to the academy with my sister-in-law, Brother Corrado's wife, and she knows all of this stuff. That's what she does. And she went through all the stuff and verified, no, they'll never give you the disability.
I wonder how many people are in your position. Do you have any idea how many people might be in your same situation? That is, that they want to work. They have mentally, they're right there, and they don't want to give up.
No.
But they're existing on their Social Security check, and they can't get any disability from the federal government because they didn't apply at the right time.
Right.
Yeah. So, Anthony, there's going to be a fundraiser for you in a few weeks at Skipper's Smokehouse, and a lot of your old friends from the Salinas days and from the Cafe Creole days are going to be playing music for you at Skipper's Smokehouse in a few weeks.
We had a little Cafe Creole Salinas reunion about a month and a half ago at Rick's on the River, and a bunch of my old employees showed up, and they all fired up. And they said, no, we're going to call. We're all coming. We're going to, you know, all these people stayed together all these years. And I've kept in touch with some of them. So they're all fired up about spreading the word and coming. And then Denise Moore and Joey Donovan from the Lint Rollers, and Denise was with Paul and the Pop-Tarts for years. And Denise
and
said,
a great jazz
I've done some fundraisers,
own, yeah.
And I want to help you. So now we've got, she's heading it all up with Joey. They got posters made now. We got Belinda Womack coming, maybe Dickie Rivers, maybe Paul Wilburn. They're trying to put it all together. What's his name? Wayne Pearson, who played clarinet and sax at Creole for years. He played on Bourbon Street. He's a Dixieland historian. He's all excited. He lives in Newport Richey. He still plays. Mm-hmm. So he's coming. So we got a real nice, it's going to be exciting, fun show.
And this is June 23rd?
June 23rd, 5 to 9, it's $25 donation or whatever you can afford. And Skipper's, you know, has a lot of New Orleans food. You know, they always have. They call it Florida Ribbon or whatever they call it.
Right.
And Tom White has been hugely helpful. We've known each other for years. We did events together, shared music together. And I called him and he says, oh, yeah, come on over. Yeah, let's do an event for you. I do this. I want to help.
Anthony, I saw an article just before we go. I saw an article in one of the national papers this week that said a lot of Americans, we know about the people that are coming up from Honduras and Guatemala and Mexico to try to find work in the U.S., but a lot of Americans are retiring and going to San Miguel, where you were.
For many years.
Yeah.
For many years. It started after World War II with all the GIs and having money because there was an art center there by a guy from the States named Surly Dickinson. The street's named after him. So it's full of art centers of all types, and it's a hilltop town, you know, about 6,000 feet, you know, cobblestone streets, and it's loaded with boutiques and shops and restaurants and, you know, Canadians, Tampa people, Texas, all over the world come there, and it's been written a couple of times in the last 10 years, well, many times, as one of the best places to retire in the world.
Our president right now has shown a lot of hostility towards Mexicans. When the Mexicans are dealing with the Americans there in San Miguel, how do they treat the Americans?
Mexicans are very fine people. They're Latinos. They're family people. You know, if they see you're straight and honest, you know, they welcome you. You know, you get invited to weddings of people you don't even know. But you better be prepared. You go to a Mexican wedding, you know, it's a party. The tequila and the beer and the roasting pigs and goats and whatever. They're parties. They're serious parties. The Latin people, that's what they do. Colombians are worse, you know, as far as party. A friend here, the Traviesas, that married a Colombian family and they got killed. They went to Miami for a 2-day nonstop party, you know, and they said these people are brutal.
They didn't get killed. actually.
Huh?
They didn't get killed, actually.
Well, they kill you with food and drink.
They were pretty tired at the
it's
end of the two-day party. Anthony, thanks a lot for coming by, because I think that this issue of what happens when you're older and you're disabled and you're trying to exist just solely on the Social Security check and you want to work and you can't really...
It doesn't make sense.
Work. Yeah. So thanks for coming by the party in your honor. The fundraiser for you for your medical needs is June 23rd, Skipper's Smokehouse, 5 p.m. That's a Sunday night.
5 to 9 and donations 25, but that's what you can afford.
Okay. All right. Anthony, thanks a lot for coming by.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right. Great to see you.
Bye-bye.
Well, you're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg. In a moment, we're going to talk about the... conflict between Nancy Pelosi and President Trump. Takudzi, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Well, yesterday, President Trump tweeted a doctored video of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi appearing to stutter and slur her words as if drunk or confused. Several other Republicans also tweeted the same video yesterday. Let's listen to a little bit of this doctored video of Nancy Pelosi.
We had a took no longer on the floor. The custody of the border. Everyone started making, sending signals. The U.S., Mexico, Canada. If that's not the accurate category, some people call it AFTA NAFTA. Some call it NAFTA 2.0. Working together to pass that. The three things. We're very busy people.
Well, that was a doctored video of Nancy Pelosi that was shared by President Trump and many of his supporters yesterday. It turns out that the video was fake. And Fox News even, although Fox News referred to it and played it at one point, later turned around and declared it was fake as well. We're going to listen to a little bit. There is rising tension between Nancy Pelosi and President Trump. And we're going to hear some of what's been going on the last few days and then take your phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Or you can go back to the news. This is a report that originally appeared on the Associated Press. We're going to listen to this report that talks a little bit about the tension between Pelosi and Trump.
I actually ardently pray for the president.
A reporter said that suggests Pelosi's worried about his well-being.
I am.
And says those around him need to step in.
I wish that his family or his administration or his staff would have an intervention for the good of the country.
Pelosi says the president's become too unpredictable. Pelosi is openly questioning the president's fitness for office and says she's concerned for his well-being, a day after he said he will not work with Democrats while they investigate him.
Maybe he wants to take a leave of absence. I don't know.
At one point during a news conference, she joked about the 25th Amendment, the constitutional path for replacing a president. She says the White House is crying out for impeachment proceedings, suggesting that would help the president politically. Top House Republican Kevin McCarthy says Pelosi should know better.
I think that's irresponsible of the speaker to even say.
Both sides are getting more personal in their attacks as Congress prepared to leave for a Memorial Day break. Sagar Magani at the White House.
Now, that was some of what Speaker Pelosi said yesterday about President Trump. Here's some of what President Trump has been saying about Pelosi and fellow Democrat Chuck Schumer.
She's a mess. Look, let's face it. She doesn't understand it. And they sort of feel she's disintegrating before their eyes. She does not understand it. Crying Chuck. Crazy Nancy. I tell you what, I've been watching her, and I have been watching her for a long period of time. She's not the same person. She's lost it. I'm an extremely stable genius.
President Trump speaking yesterday. Let's listen to a little bit more of what Pelosi was saying yesterday about President Trump. This came up during a press conference, and we're going to take your comments about this in a few minutes. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Nancy Pelosi was asked several questions about the president yesterday at a press conference, and here's what she had to say.
And with all due respect to your question, I do not intend not to honor my oath of office, nor do my colleagues in the House of Representatives to honor our oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution, which has a system of checks and balances, separation of power in it. And again, it's a question of the American people understanding that what he is doing is an assault on the Constitution of the United States. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. I hope he can, too.
Yesterday you said that the president may have engaged in impeachable offenses.
Yeah.
Yet today you're saying you're not on a path to impeachment. Can you explain why you are opposed to launching an impeachment inquiry, as many of your members want to do?
Let me be really very clear. The president's behavior in terms of his obstruction of justice, the things that he is doing, it's very clear. It's in plain sight. It cannot be denied. Ignoring subpoenas, obstruction of justice. Yes, these could be impeachable offenses, but I intend not to, there are three things. You might understand it better if you remember these three things. We want to follow the facts to get the truth to the American people, with a recognition, too, that no one is above the law, and three, that the president is engaged in a cover-up. And that is what my statement is. How we deal with it is a decision that our caucus makes, and our caucus is very much saying whatever we do, we need to be ready when we do it. And I do think that impeachment is a very divisive place to go in our country. And if we can get the facts to the American people through our investigation, it may take us to a place that is unavoidable in terms of impeachment or not. But we're not at that place.
Do you believe he committed a crime?
Yes.
Can you take another meeting with the president after what happened? Can you work with him on anything?
Of course. I mean, you know, we're dealing with a situation that is becoming more predictable. But I do think that we have a responsibility to try to find common ground. It's funny you asked that question, Casey, because yesterday I was going to start the meeting in terms of course, putting it in historic perspective, as I have done here, but also say we're very busy people, the leaders in the Congress, especially the President of the United States, I think. And a meeting between the leaders of the Congress and the President is an historic meeting. This is not a casual coming together of Democrats and Republicans. This is an historic meeting. It's the leadership of the legislative branch, the first branch of government, and the President of the United States. So let's make it count for something. Let's really make it count for something. By dint of preparation, by dint of respect for each other's views, understanding that we'll have to yield on points to get results for the American people. He obviously was not prepared. By dint of preparation, he was not prepared, and so he used some excuse to go out the door. And I will not take responsibility for his irresponsible behavior, because we're pointing out the truth to the American people.
You have a lot of issues. Due to the gravity of the meeting, Kellyanne Conway made a remark to you at the end of the meeting. She's apparently expanded on her remarks.
I'm not going to talk about that. I responded as the Speaker of the House to the President of the United States. Other conversations people want to have among themselves is up to them. Yes, sir.
Speaker, now, obviously, you guys have a lot of major legislative issues that you need to address this summer. The Treasury Secretary here was talking about raising the debt ceiling, the import of that. Yeah. You're going to need Democratic votes, to have the question. How do you go back and re-engineer this might not get infrastructure, but you've got to keep the government open, and you have to raise the debt ceiling, and they're going to have to have Democratic votes from the president. They're going to have that.
Why don't you go ask that president question of the president of the United States? We have always been responsible. Left to their own devices, our appropriators can always, I'm an appropriator, that forged in that culture, intelligence and appropriations. And in those days, they were not really partisan arenas. So for on disaster assistance, we could have gotten there, left to their own devices of the appropriators until the White House intervened. So we will have to pass the appropriations bills. And we will, and hopefully we will do them in a very timely fashion. The debt ceiling will have to be lifted, and that's a matter of this conversation that we're having on the debt ceiling. We're not saying, as the president said, if you don't stop investigating me, if you don't stop honoring your oath of office, I can't work with you. That's basically what he's saying. Maybe he wants to take a leave of absence. I don't know. But on the other hand, we understand what our responsibilities are. We're fully prepared to go forward. It really will be up to them to have some level of cooperation.
You're in a better position to ask for more, though, because of the blow-up yesterday.
We want to do what we have to do that is right for the American people, respectful of all the equities that have to be weighed. One more, because we have to go back.
You said in private, you suggested it today, that the president wants to, on some level,
of course,
to impeach.
I told you.
Can you explain that a bit? And can you also explain the comment you made about the staff doing an intervention?
Okay, the what intervention?
You made a comment that you thought the staff might want to do.
Oh, something. I thought you said statutory intervention. That would be good. Article 25. Troublemaker. That's a good idea. I'm glad you suggested it. I'll take it up with my caucus. Not that they haven't been thinking about it. But your support will be important to them. What was the first? Oh, yes. Oh, there's no question. The White House is just crying out for impeachment. That's why he flipped yesterday, because he was hoping, because he was, somehow or other, you all have a story that isn't real. I mean, you want to believe that there's all this unease in our caucus. That simply isn't the truth. We have respect for the diversity of opinion in our caucus. And I say to the caucus, our diversity is our strength. Our unity is our power, and we have unity in our caucus. And so when he saw that, see, he's saying, oh, you called that meeting at 9 o'clock? No, we have the meeting, Mr. President. It's not about you, but it is about whatever is current at that time. And so somehow or other, you keep perpetuating this story. I don't know why, because it isn't factual. But nonetheless, that was what disappointed him, because he didn't see this rush to impeachment coming out of our caucus in our 9 o'clock meeting, which he thought was called specifically for him. And then that's up to his family and his cabinet and his staff in the White House. This is not behavior that is rises to the dignity of the office of President of the United States. But having said that, as I said, I actually ardently pray for the president, because we need, I don't know, sometimes when we're talking to him, he agrees. And then I said one time, who's in charge here? Because you agree, and then all of a sudden something changes. What goes on there? Who's in charge? And he says he's in charge, and I suspect that he may be. And I suspect he may be even more since yesterday, because I don't think that any responsible assistant to the President of the United States would have advised him to do what he did yesterday. That's it. Thank you all.
Well, that was House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday doing a press conference about President Trump. She said that he had committed impeachable offenses, including obstruction of justice and ignoring subpoenas. She said that she wants to follow the facts to get to the truth, that no one is above the law. She said the president is right now engaged in a cover-up. She said impeachment would be divisive, but we're not at that place now. She said we need to find common ground. She said the president was not prepared for that famous meeting this Wednesday when he walked into the Oval Office with Pelosi and Chuck Schumer sitting there. She said the president was not prepared for that meeting. She said that maybe the president wants to take a leave of absence, suggesting that Article 25 should be invoked, too. That's the one where the cabinet is able to remove the president. She said the White House is crying out for impeachment. She suggested there needs to be an intervention from his family, his staff, and his cabinet. And she questioned his behavior and said that she prays for the president. Well, that was Nancy Pelosi yesterday. Some of what she said yesterday was edited into that doctored video that President Trump tweeted out yesterday. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. David writes the first email that comes in on this topic today, and these are David's words, and I'm not sure they're the best, but David says, will these scumbag Republicans apologize for passing along the doctored Pelosi video? Of course not. There's no dignity nor decorum in the Republican Party under Trump. Wake up, chumps, writes David. And he goes on to say, Trump is totally playing you for the marks that you are. Time to dust off the 25th Amendment and put it to use. All right. So David using some pretty tough language there. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. A guy named Bubba, I assume it's a guy, he says, people who are actual stable geniuses don't brag about being stable geniuses. Trump doesn't make the cut. He's not fit for office. George Conway is right, writes Bubba. And Captain Tim writes this, I'm an extremely stable genius, laughing my FAO. Thanks for my first belly laugh of the weekend, Rob. This clown never ceases to amaze me. 813-239-9663. Kevin writes this, does anyone know any geniuses who are afraid to reveal their college SAT scores or their school records? Seems like he's got something to hide. We're going to open up the phone lines in just a moment. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's listen to just a little bit more sound. This is from President Trump questioning the patriotism of former FBI Director James Comey and also suggesting that Comey should be tried for treason. This is what President Trump said yesterday.
Sir, the Constitution says treason is punishable by death. You've accused your adversaries of treason. Who specifically are you accusing of treason?
Well, I think a number of people, and I think what you look is that they have unsuccessfully tried to take down the wrong person. If you look at Comey, if you look at McCabe, if you look at probably people higher than that, if you look at Strzok, if you look at his lover, Lisa Page, his wonderful lover, the two lovers, they talked openly. You know, they didn't use their private server because they didn't want to get caught. So they used the government server. That was not a good move. He talked about the insurance policy just in case Crooked Hillary loses. And that didn't work out too well for them. So you look at them, they want an insurance policy so that should she, for any reason, lose, remember, 100 million to one. Maybe he said 100 million to nothing. But should she lose, we'll have an insurance policy and we'll get this guy out of office. And that's what they said and that's what they meant. That's treason. That's treason. They couldn't win the election and that's what happened. And that's what's happening right now because without the treason word, I guess, but that's what's happening now. They don't feel they can win the election. So they're trying to do the 1,000 stabs. Keep stabbing. Let's have a financial. Let's have. And if you look for $40 million, I would think seriously that Bob Mueller and his group of 18 killers have gone over my taxes. They've gone over my financial statements to a level that nobody has gone over them before. And they were not discussed even. They weren't even discussed or brought up. I have great statements. Okay, what else?
President Trump yesterday saying that these people, including Comey and McCabe, the former FBI officials, have unsuccessfully tried to take down the wrong person, he says. Some of their alleged actions took place before President Trump won the election, and some took place after the president won the election. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. What do you think about all this? Let's go to Danny in Tampa first. Danny, thanks for calling. What do you think about all this?
I think Donald Trump is a sick individual, and it's right before our eyes. He is disintegrating, not Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi showed that she got the best of him again, got under his skin, and this is how they retaliate with an altered video and Rudy Giuliani saying that what she said when he needed an intervention hurt our nation. Come on, man. Are you serious? These people will stop at nothing. And it just goes to show you the way they are, Rob. I mean, they just, and Donald Trump is. I mean, I have a friend of mine that I go to karaoke with. He's a Trump supporter, but he doesn't know much, but he's a good guy. And he tells me last week, do you think Nancy Pelosi is a normal person? I said, well, you think Donald Trump is normal. So, I mean, you're telling me that Nancy Pelosi is not normal and Donald Trump is? I mean, you know, what is wrong with you? So, you know, this is just typical. And very typical, and it's gonna backfire on them. It's gonna backfire on them big time. You know, there's no doubt about it. Donald Trump. This morning, Jeremy Scahill said that he was a deranged, dangerous man, and he's not a stable genius. He's an unstable, deranged individual. And on another subject, real quickly, this morning on The View, Sunny Hostin, boy, she was great. She defended Julian Assange. After Meghan McCain said that he should rot in hell, Sonny Hostin says, well, you must not know anything about the Constitution, because the Constitution, this is the constitutional thing, and it goes all the way back to 2010, when people have the right to express their views in a free society. And Chris Cuomo said last night, and Sonny Hostin said this morning, that pretty soon they're going to be coming for people like us. Okay, they're going to become for people. No matter what I told you, I had problems with Julian Assange. You know, when he was in for Trump against Hillary in the 2016 in the emails and WikiLeaks. But I don't. That doesn't matter. Jeremy Scahill said this morning, doesn't matter who you support. I would defend anybody to the right of free press. And this is very, very, very disturbing, Rob. And Donald Trump, and before him, Barack Obama, also too. Well, you know, but not to the extreme that Donald Trump did. They didn't go and try to get him, but Donald Trump did, and they're trying to give him, I don't know, 100 and some years. That is really unbelievable.
All right, Danny, thanks a lot. I'm always amazed at the range of things you pay attention to. Danny, you're on The View. I'm glad you listened to Democracy Now, because I think there's a lot of great information there.
Oh,
and then you're on CNN the night before.
Okay, so
I mean, you must never sleep, Danny. All right, Danny, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Larry, who's in Bennington. Larry, are you in Bennington, Vermont? Is that where you're at?
Yeah, Rob. Right, Bennington, Florida.
Oh, Bennington, Florida.
Yeah.
Where is Bennington, Florida?
Excuse me?
Where is Bennington, Florida?
It's across the bridge.
Oh, you're in Bradenton. You're in Bradenton. I hear you, Larry. You're in Bradenton. I'm sorry.
I have
it says on my screen you're in Bennington. I thought you were calling from Vermont. Go ahead.
I have a question. The guy with the health problem, the restaurant guy, how come he's not on Medicare? I'm puzzled.
I think he is on Medicare. I think he does get Medicare, but he was hoping also to get disability too.
Well, he's trying for disability?
Yeah, because he still wants to work.
I don't know if he's a disability. He should stay with Medicare. God, Medicare really.
Between everything
really
he's
took care of me real good.
Yeah, between everything he's going through, he's having some problems.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Larry, thanks a lot. All right, good to hear from you. Let's go to Art in Antioch. Art, you're on. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. You know, I've got a couple of things. I was just listening to Nancy Pelosi, and I mean, I think she's an amazing legislator. But in regards to this impeachment, she needs to pull the trigger. You know, I look at this thing going back to Trump's private meetings, unrecorded, undocumented, with Vladimir Putin, and I believe that he got the playbook of how to become an autocrat, and he's playing that fiddle to a tune, and we need to step in and get this done over. She needs to stop trying to understand the man, and she just needs to punch him in the political face.
That's not very democratic, though. I mean, you're saying, metaphorically speaking, punch him in the face. You know, I'm wondering, you know, what's wrong with just, and maybe I'm agreeing with you, what's wrong with just letting the investigations go wherever it takes them, and then at some point say if, and probably already there are examples where, as Alan Grayson said on the show yesterday, that when you ignore subpoenas and when you obstruct justice, and I think there's pretty good cases to be made for both of those, that now you're already in violation of the Constitution. And if it is Congress's job to protect the Constitution, they all take an oath of office, then maybe the time has come to impeach. I guess the question is, do we need more investigation to find out even, you know, the further what President Trump has done? Or should the House Judiciary Committee be debating impeachment right now? And maybe you're saying the House Judiciary Committee should be debating impeachment right now. Is that what you're saying? All right. I guess we lost Art. Okay, Art, thank you. 813-239-9663. Frank Knox is our phone producer today. Let's go to Ben in Plant City. Ben, thank you for calling. And by the way, we've only got one woman on the line. And we'll go to her next. Ben, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I've got a question, and I'll hang up and listen. I was wondering what would happen with the election coming up in 2020 and everyone talking about the impeachment deal. What happens if we go to war with Iran before the election? What happens with the election or the impeachment? Does it stop? Or do they still have it? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Well, let's hope we don't go to war with Iran, first of all. I mean, I think the president and John Bolton are the ones, the chief cheerleaders in Washington for that. I think a lot of the generals and a lot of other people outside of the White House think it's not a good idea. After all, Iran hasn't attacked us, right? You go to war when somebody attacks you, and that's why so many people have been against wars like Vietnam. Vietnam didn't really attack us. The Gulf of Tonkin was a put-up operation. It wasn't really an attack. Iraq never attacked us. When we went to war against Iraq the first time in 1990, it didn't attack us. So let's hope that that doesn't happen. But what happens to the impeachment process, the work of Washington? It continues even during a war, and if there are investigations that need to be undertaken, they'll continue. I'm sure they won't stop. That's what I think goes on. But let's hope that cooler heads prevail and we don't go to war with Iraq. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, thanks for breaking the gender barrier at 11:53.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Rob. First of all, I want to say that to me, Nancy Pelosi is the closest thing this country has to a president. The closest thing right now. I don't know whether you'd call her a president in absentia or whatever the phrase would be. To me, that's what she is. And I think I stand behind her 100%. Now, Danny, I just love hearing him talk. He's such a smart guy. Like you said, he's got he mustn't sleep at night. I don't know. But he said something yesterday, and he said that he'd even be happy to see Pence as president. And I can understand how he feels, except I think that they would like to drop this stable genius like a hot potato, and I think they have it all planned. I think they must have a plan B, C, D, E, and F down the alphabet for what would happen without Trump. They would love to get rid of him and put Pence in his place. I think we should be worried about that. So I don't know whether this impeachment is such a great idea or not.
You're saying the leaders of the Republican Party would like to see, okay?
I think they would just love to get rid of this embarrassment of Trump. I mean, the way he's treated them and everything. You think about, as human beings, how can they stand to be insulted by him? The way he's talked to, you know, fellow Republicans, called them names, had nicknames for them. Is it just the greed? Is it just the money? Are they afraid? They line up like they did after Pelosi spoke, and then Trump's answer to him with the guys in the back of him with the cowboy hats. and Kellyanne and Sarah Sanders and the other ones, that's out of fear, really, I guess. But I mean, I think they would just love to get rid of him and get Pence in. And
all right.
That's an even scarier thought to me.
All right, Fran, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments.
Okay.
Great to hear from you. And let's go to Jackie in Largo. Jackie, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Jackie.
It's a great day in America.
go ahead. Our country's doing much better, right?
Feels like it when, you know, after I heard Nancy speak, because, I don't know, made me feel good and like there's hope, you know. But I am going to be kind of shallow, because my favorite part of her press conference was when she dismissed Kellyanne Conway. Thank you, Rob.
All right, Jackie. Jackie, I forgot. What did she say about Kellyanne yesterday? Because I didn't see that part.
I guess Kellyanne made a remark about her or something. I didn't hear it. But she said, I'm not going to respond to that.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
She didn't want to respond to Kellyanne. She tried to keep herself somewhat above the fray. Jackie, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Abe in Tampa. Abe, you're on 88.5 FM. What would you like to say?
Yeah, how you doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I think that Speaker Pelosi is really playing this thing just right myself. You know, she's a very smart woman. This is a woman that's been around for a long time. She knows all the ins and outs of our political system and how it works. And, you know, we're after a big fish right now, you know, and they don't get any bigger or slicker than Trump. So, you know, when you're after a big fish, an old fish that's been around for 50 years, that knows how to spit the worm out, avoid the worm, avoid the hook, you got to play it smart. So what she's doing is, number one, she's waiting to get more information, because he's going to self-disintegrate. It's already happening. There's more stuff that's going to come out. And like she said a couple of weeks ago, he will wind up impeaching himself. And of course, she was right, because that's exactly what he did the other day when he denied this the subpoena. There you go. I mean, it's starting right now. And I think also that she's waiting as the election gets a little bit closer, when the heavy campaigning really starts, that's when she's going to set the hook and have more information. Let's remember, the last two times that a president was impeached, we go back to Clinton, okay? For what? Because he couldn't, you know, keep his you-know-what in his pants, his own personal business, okay? So was that really an impeachable offense? Not really, because it was dismissed. You know, he didn't, you know, he stayed in office. Okay, and then let's go back before that to Nixon, okay? Nixon did something a little more serious, you know, the bugging of Watergate and all of that. But, you know, at least he had enough class to resign. And I think now Trump will never resign. He's not going to resign. That's not going to happen. He doesn't have enough class to resign. So what we need to do is to get a little more impeachable things on him, because, of course, the House of Representatives, they're all for it. But let's remember that the Senate is the ones that have to vote on the impeachment. And we have to have concrete, no leak-proof amount of evidence, an amount of things, numerous things, for the Senate to say, okay, yeah, he's out.
And that's the hook we're talking about.
Man, I think she's playing it perfect, man.
All right, Abe, thanks a lot.
Other callers and everything saying, oh, they should do it right now. No.
All right, Abe, thanks a lot. Abe, thank you. Thank you for that good call. Let's go to Susan in St. Petersburg. Susan, what do you think?
Hello.
Hi, Susan. You're live on WMNF.
Yes. My whole deal on this is almost like the redemption song. How long will they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? And unfortunately, right now, our prophets are the people that are telling us the truth, you know? And that's kind of scary to me. But that was just my play on everything.
All right.
And I don't know where everything is going with Trump, but that's just another unfolding of the story.
All right. Well, Susan, thanks a lot. Thanks for being our last caller today. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for tuning in. And have a great Memorial Day weekend. Thanks to Frank Knox for being our phone producer today. If you want to call up and make a comment, you can call us at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play those comments back on Monday at 11 o'clock. Here is Bob Marley doing Redemption Song. This is WMNF Tampa. Minutes are for there to cry from the bottomless pit, but my